moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayambhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now. I am up at 3:30 in the morning. Go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, it's John Sabo, and I'm coming to you from the Bachu Traditional Market here in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. There was an article that was posted by the New York Times earlier this year that was talking about how people can escape and travel while the pandemic was going on by watching videos or listening to podcasts, but they mentioned that the travel podcasts, for the most part, were more about helping people save money on hotels or how to game the system for points for airlines. And there weren't that many podcasts out there that were actually experience podcasts where you could put on your headphones or buds and get kind of an experience of a place, travel through your podcast. But they listed a few podcasts that did have experience episodes, and unfortunately they didn't list the Far East Travels podcast. But that's okay. I've been doing this for about 6 years now, and a lot of the episodes that I do kind of go on the ground, and it's been a little bit tougher, obviously, this year because I haven't been traveling, so I haven't been able to do different things. But nevertheless, I'm here in Vietnam. It's one of the most vibrant countries in Southeast Asia, dynamic cities here, Ho Chi Minh City, and this is one of the biggest local-style traditional markets that you could visit. This is in Binh Thanh District. And by taxi, it's maybe about 10, 15 minutes tops from District 1, where you might be staying. That's well worth a visit here. It is a massive market. And obviously, when I say market, I don't mean just the actual building itself, but the neighborhood that surrounds it actually is more exciting to walk around and see daily life here than actually inside. Inside's quite quiet, but we'll walk inside as well, so you can get an idea, at least the difference in atmosphere from outside to inside. But it's just one of my favorite things to do is come for a walk through here, maybe do a little bit of shopping. I'm not sure if I'll do that today, but I do need to get some dragon fruit. It's been a few days since I've had some dragon fruit, so I might try to get some dragon fruit. And dragon fruit is pretty much a year-round item here, grown in the Mekong River Delta. And there was a problem earlier this year because of the pandemic. China buys a lot of the dragon fruit from Vietnam, but because the borders were kind of, a lot of items were going slowly through the borders, if they were even getting through at all. There was a lot of dragon fruit potentially that was gonna go bad. And the owner of a chain of bakeries here in Vietnam, ABC Bakery, was visiting the Mekong River Delta and noticed all these crates of dragon fruit just sitting around, and he inquired why, and he was told. So he ended up buying several tons of the dragon fruit and came up with a recipe for dragon fruit bread, and he sold it through all of his bakeries, and it was a hit. I was in District 5 one day, and there was a huge lineup outside one of their larger locations waiting for the dragon fruit bread to come out for sale. And it was just one of those things that was a real sign of Vietnamese entrepreneurship and also goodwill as well, trying to do something for the betterment of the country. And another person that had a pasta shop in Hanoi came out with a recipe for pasta with dragon fruit in it to help people consume more dragon fruit and help out the farmers. And then they also had a problem this year with lychee, because China buys a lot of lychee from Vietnam. It was actually really good prices here locally for people, but I think the farmers didn't do as well as they expected to do, because they weren't able to move their product or export the product like they could normally. So they sell pretty much everything here. I'm in the lane just close, maybe about 300 meters, 400 meters from the market building itself, in a street next to it. And you can pretty much get everything here. There's, there's not many people walking here. I think within 100 meters of where I can see, I only see maybe one or two other people walking. Everybody else is on their motorbike and driving through the lane and buying stuff as they drive through. That really, especially in this market, that's how people shop. They shop on their motorbike. I mean, I don't think there's enough places for people to park here. Even if half of these people that are driving wanted to park, I don't think there's enough places for them to park. So they literally just are shopping on their scooter while they do this. So it's some of you have to have your wits about you when you're walking through these markets, because you know, you can't have your head in your cell phone while you're walking here. You got to be paying attention, because there's bikes coming and going and crossing the street, and then you've got vendors here as well. But they pretty much sell everything here, all kinds of dry goods. I'm looking at all kinds of like snacks and crackers and cookies. And wow, that even looks like India. They have some Indian snacks here, some nuts, and there's clothing around here. And then lots of fish, seafood being sold in the wide aluminum pans and trays that are shallow that can hold some water, so they keep some of the fish fresh or alive. Poultry, and then just the massive bounty of produce and fruit that's available in Vietnam. And you know, Mekong River Delta grows, I think, most of the fruit for Vietnam, because it is a tropical climate. And I think that's where a lot of the north gets a lot of tropical fruit from, is from the south. And I'm gonna duck in just now so I can show you a contrast of the environment from going outside the market to inside. And inside is gonna be mostly dry goods. We're gonna walk down this one alley here, and I'll tell you once I've come in. So now I'm undercover. And I'm walking past a whole lot of food stalls here. These are actually really good places to try the local dishes, because they're really done really quite well in these markets. And the dishes are really expensive, because these are markets that really just cater to locals. So you really, if you want the real feel of everyday life in a country like Vietnam, then you want to get out of the tourist places and the tourist markets. They're nice to visit to pick up souvenirs, but they really don't show you the real true nature of business here and everyday life. So I'm gonna walk in. This is great. Wow, this is amazing. This stand here sells a lot of dried fish and shrimp. I have lots of bright lights here. Huge variety of dried fish and shrimp, dried goods in this one section. Seems like they have the section cordoned off just for this type of stuff. Not a real stinky smell. I am wearing a mask, of course, but I never find that the smells are off or off-putting in these markets. A lot of people would be surprised, because you see a lot of fresh things out, like meat and poultry. But I think the meat and poultry has moved pretty fast. They do keep some seafood on ice, and some fish is kept alive in those shallow pans. Now, the other thing I'm noticing is, of course, because we're coming up to Tet or the Lunar New Year is there's all kinds of things that are for sale right now for the Lunar New Year, like Lunar New Year calendars or Tet calendars. It's coming, it's the year of the ox. So there's lots of ox style wall hangings for good luck. And of course, this is Tet is exactly the same lunar calendar as the Chinese New Year, and the same characters as well. And this is the most important holiday of the year in Vietnam. So this year, February 12th, is the start of the New Year. So now I've walked outside of the market, and I'm on one of the main streets again here, with lots of traffic, and it's, should be telling you, it's like 10 a.m. here on New Year's Eve day. And people do celebrate, by the way, like regular New Year's Eve or the standard Gregorian New Year's calendar, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. New Year's Day is a national holiday here in Vietnam. So people do celebrate it. You know, it's definitely not to the same extent or doesn't hold the same importance as Lunar New Year. But nevertheless, there'll be celebrations. I'm not sure if they'll be as robust as they normally are because of COVID. And but they have been setting up some stages and different things around the core in District 1. For New Year's Eve and New Year's Eve celebrations. So I just want to take a look at one of my favorite little stalls here. Well, I've got I'm behind in front of motorbikes and motorbikes passing me because they have such an array of all of these special little things that are kind of act like flavor enhancers or condiments to a lot of food that you eat here, like particularly like the fried rolls. Some people call them egg rolls. I don't, you'll see the odd restaurant call it an egg roll, the fried rolls, but let's just call them spring rolls, the deep fried rolls. And they have a lot of things that accompany it, like the baby star fruit and the green banana. You don't always see those things served in, especially in the restaurants that cater more to foreigners. But if you go to the real local places, they'll serve those types of condiments. And then I'm seeing just like big bowls of chili and garlic all freshly chopped up, and turmeric, ginger, and some baby jackfruit, and then all kinds of herbs that I wouldn't know where to begin to start. Oh, baby corn too is something that's unique to Westerners that you won't see in most of your supermarkets. And then these really plump green peppercorns that look amazing. I would just love to buy some of those and cook up some squid or something. And then lots of, you know, a lot of sellers specialize in different things, like this seller here I'm in front of. It's got a lot of aromatics, ginger, shallots. Whoop. And he's moving umbrella. So I think they were yelling at me, getting me to get out of the way. They've got a lot of aromatics here and chilies, and then various different citrus that would be going into different types of sauces, like Nam Tom, like the fermented fish paste. They have the sort of the little kumquat style or calamintan, or not calamintan, calamansan. Little sort of tiny little limes, but they're a little more sweeter than a lime. They have all the varieties of those here as well. And just smells amazing. Like you could smell the garlic and chilies. And then a lot of that's I think somebody just used playing the radio or a television, but there's some of the stalls too will have their own sort of custom announcement. Yeah, it's nice. Nice lady's pointing at me. She, of course, wants me to, encourages me to buy something here. They have, what else do they have here? They have the bitter melon. which is really good for you, I'm told. Have different varieties of that here, and I've seen okra.
Hello.
And the people here are pretty friendly. They don't always see foreigners here, so they are very welcoming to foreigners. As far as bargaining goes, I typically bargain on bigger items or if I'm buying a lot of things. But if I'm just buying like a couple dragon fruit, I'm probably not going to argue too much on the price. I personally kind of have a sense of what things are sold for, and it's actually not hard if somebody doesn't have their prices marked on their items. Other stalls do, so you can sort of get an idea of what things are going for, and some might be a little cost a little bit more. It might be because of quality or the origin of the fruit as well. But once you start, I mean, if you're here for a while, once you start getting to know the prices and everything, it's not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to bargain for some of the things here. The prices are really good to begin with. If you keep going to the same person, they often give you a discount or give you something to seal your loyalty with them. Very much like Taiwan as well. I used to shop in Taiwan at some of the same fruit stalls, and they'd always give me extra things. This market is actually a good market if you have a limited amount of time. If you're coming to Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City, really good market to come to because it's actually much closer than some of the other markets that are worthy of visiting in District 5 and District 6 that are more geared towards locals. This one is not very far away. And they laugh at me because I'm tall, and sometimes I can understand little comments that they say, but that's Vietnamese. A lot of fun, very easy to engage with local people here. And the experience is very different than when you visit the tourist places, the tourist markets. The attitudes and people are very different. Oh, I see something else too really that's good. It's they have the Burmese grapes. They're not always in season. There's a kind of a tart and sweet taste to them. If you go on Google Maps and you search for this market, you'll see the average stay is 15 minutes. It's no wonder why. Now, I'm just walking past a school and their kids are all getting picked up right now. So that can cause a lot of traffic jams whenever there's a pickup time for kids at one of the schools here. There'll be a lot of traffic, bit of a traffic snare up sometimes. I'm just crossing the street here, watching where I'm going. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget, you can support the podcast by becoming a patron. And patrons get access to exclusive content and help, obviously, support the continuation of the Far East Travels podcast. And you can also help the podcast by writing a positive review in the iTunes store. Reviews always help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. So there'll be a link for my Patreon page in the show notes and a link for the podcast itself in Apple Podcasts or iTunes. So thanks for listening. And when we all start traveling again, of course, I wish you safe travels. Namaste, tashi delay, and peace.